Good evening, good people. Welcome everybody here tonight, the members and visitors, and that includes me, doesn't it? It almost feels like my home church. I'm here so much. It's my home away from home church is what I've called it before. We're going to be preaching from the book of Amos tonight. We'll start at Amos 9. Who else read Amos this week? Everybody? You know, this morning we sang happy birthday to Danny over there. You know, I remember when it was a big fad. Everybody wore the bracelets. It was WWJD. Yeah. And I was always WWDD. What would Danny do? You gotta hang in there. Amos 9. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And then they go into captivity before their enemies. Thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn it. And it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth, the Lord is his name. Are you not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Caphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saying the Lord thy God. Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're gathered here this evening as we bow before your throne of grace, Lord. We just want to give thanks for the many bountiful things that you give us, the grace that you give us. And Lord, we just worship and praise you. And Lord, we give you all the glory. Lord, we learned this morning that is our main job, is to give you glory, Lord. And I glorify you this evening. Lord, I just want to pray for those that are lost. I pray that you open their eyes and clear their minds, that they come to know you. And Lord, I pray for you to hide me behind the cross and let your message pour forth. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me where I failed you. Lord, I pray that thy will be done in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some harsh stuff going on here. We got to know a little bit about Amos. He was a mere shepherd. If you want to call that job mere. But it was a lowly job, looked down upon. He was a shepherd of Tekoa, which is located a little south of Jerusalem near Bethlehem. And there, God made him a prophet. God told him what to say to the people of Israel. He was a native of Judah, but he prophesied to Israel, the ten kingdoms who had separated, Israel separated itself from Judah. Amos is called a minor prophet, only because he didn't have a lot of words in his book, but he has a major prophecy. We have major prophets and minor prophets, and mainly that has to do with the length of their books, of their chapters, of their prophecies. Amos lived at the time of Isaiah, Hosea. He was born during the time of Uzziah, king of Judah. He went to Israel, and he prophesied the truth. You know you're going to get in trouble when you tell the truth, because not everybody wants to hear the truth. And as a famous actor once said in a famous movie, you can't handle the truth. And a lot of people can't. Because the truth is, Jesus Christ is the only way to God, is the only way to heaven. Nobody wants to hear that truth, because then they have to be responsible for their actions. And that's a big deal, is to be accountable for the things you do. Isn't that what Amos is telling the kingdom of Israel, that they need to be held accountable? They've done a lot of bad things. They've turned their back on God, for one thing. It's hard to preach on Amos without going through the whole book. And so we may take a little general survey of Amos to look at it completely. So let's go ahead and turn to Amos 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Destruction's coming to the land. And not just to the land of Israel. Destruction is coming to many nations. In chapter 1, he goes on and he talks about the punishment to Damascus, to Edom, to Ammon. He's going to destroy those kingdoms. Then in verse 2, he goes on and he passes judgment on Moab. And he gets to Judah, and he's going to pass judgment on Judah, and gives the reasons for that. And then he gets to Israel. And he really starts laying it in to Israel. Amos claims to be a prophet of God and not a professional prophet. That was a big ripoff in those days. There would be prophets who would pass them off as prophets of God, and they didn't. They weren't prophets of God. They were like the sons of Eli and the sons of Samuel. They did their job for money and for favors, and didn't really serve the Lord. And Amos is reminding the people that he is serving the Lord, and this is real stuff he's talking about. And so Jeroboam sends him back to Judah. He's no longer able to prophesy in Israel. He's no longer to warn the kingdom of Israel what is coming. So what does he do? He starts writing, because the Lord has laid it on his heart to prophesy to the kingdom of Israel, and he is going to prophesy to the kingdom of Israel. So he was going to write that story. He's one of the first prophets who wrote down his prophecies. It would not only help Israel, but help everyone down through the centuries. It helped the surrounding lands. It would help their descendants. It will help us today to understand the workings of God. In chapter 3, he says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." First thing I thought of when I read that is, that's the story of Adam and Eve. He told Adam what he was supposed to do and what he wasn't supposed to do. Adam obviously didn't make that clear to Eve, because she went ahead and got that fruit and gave it to Adam, and Adam partook of it too, but he punished Adam along with Eve for doing that, and he punished him especially because he knew better. I can remember a time, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what we did, but me and my brother got in trouble, and I remember the very words my dad said was, "Calvin, you knew better. David didn't know any better, but you knew better." And so guess who got the major punishment? Because I knew better. Some verses here we're familiar with, and we need to take them to heart. God is, he has a covenant with Israel. He has a covenant with them. We've talked about that in Sunday school, about covenants. And God had a covenant with his people to walk together. So in verse 3 he says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Can two walk together unless they are covenanted together to walk together? And by walking together, that means they agree which way they're going to go and how fast they're going to go. And all that's entailed in going together. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And Israel is not agreed with God, because they're not walking with God. He says, "Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." This morning we mentioned Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and God spoke and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." The true prophets listen to God. "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." And they wouldn't be prophets if they weren't telling what God revealed to them. It may be God's secrets, but he revealed his secrets so the prophets could warn of God's punishment to come, or God's reward. You know, that covenant goes two ways. You're either punished for not keeping up with the covenant, or you're rewarded for doing what is covenanted together. The Israelites habitually turn their backs on God. It's been that way since they were brought up out of Egypt, during the time in the wilderness when they escaped Egypt 40 years, they would like to turn their backs on God. They murmured a lot. They talked against God a lot. They wanted to turn back and go to Egypt a lot. But Moses persevered and led them onward. Had them doing God's will, at times almost against their will. Chapter 5, verse 1, Amos writes, "Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel." What's a lamentation? It's a sad song, isn't it? Song of suffering. "The virgin of Israel is fallen, she shall no more rise, she is forsaken upon her land, there is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord upon the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek ye the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there will be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turn the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. The Lord is his name that strengthened the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress." Bethel, Gilgal, Beersheba, they were religious places of the day. They had fake prophets, fake preachers, fake caretakers. That's why God is saying, do not seek them. Seek the Lord directly. Seek the Lord through his prophets by revelation, his true prophets. Amos was kicked out of Israel. But he still had a burden for Israel. He still wanted them to recognize what was coming. He still wanted them to avoid the punishment that was coming. And the punishment that was coming is what we read in chapter 9. Israel ended up being scattered to the ends of the earth. The known parts of the world is where Israel ended up being. The Assyrians conquered them not too long after Amos prophesied all this. They were conquered by the Assyrians, and they were spread to all the countries, all the other countries, all the other places, all the other tribes that Assyria had conquered. They spread the Israelites, they spread those Israelis, those 10 tribes, they scattered them like chaff around the world. Amos talked about that. There was a remnant left in Israel, but most of them were from other countries, because the other countries that Assyria conquered, they brought those people to Israel. So Israel, or Samaria as it came to be called, was made up of a conglomeration, a melting pot of people. Reminds me of another country's, a melting pot of people. That it's going the wrong way. That is turning their backs on God. A melting pot of people that no longer recognize God as their leader. An ungodly people full of unbelief. We're lucky if there's 10% in this country who follow the Lord. Not who call themselves Christians. not who go to church, but actually believe in God and seek His will and do it. But God loves us. Thank God He loves us the way He does. He had a plan for the kingdom of Israel. He had a plan for Judah. Israel He destroyed. He just scattered them everywhere. Judah was bad, but not quite as bad as Israel. They weren't punished in the same way. Israel was scattered. Judah was conquered and taken into captivity. They weren't scattered. They were kept together, but in Babylon. And that's where we get to the end of the chapter, to verse 14. Amos writes, "And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel." And he's saying here that he will bring them out of captivity. He will bring the captivity. The captivity is almost used as a noun there to denote those people in Babylon. The captivity. "And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God." That's a prophecy for Judah too. Because they were sent into captivity. But so was Israel. They were sent into captivity in Syria, in all the lands that surrounded Israel. Every land that the Assyrians controlled. Ezekiel talks about and prophesies about Israel and Judah coming back together. And that happened in 1948. Israel was formed as a nation in the earth. They proclaimed themselves a nation. And they haven't been pulled up out of that land since then. They've been attacked time and time again. The first day after they proclaimed themselves a nation, they were attacked by all the Arab lands surrounding them. They were outnumbered 20 to 1, 20 million to a million, or 20 million to 3 million. They were outnumbered greatly and won that war. They won a war years later. There's three or four times they've been attacked. And God has not let them be pulled up out of that land. God said He would not let them be pulled up out of that land, and they will not be pulled up out of that land. I remember a few years ago there was some missiles coming toward Israel, and they've got this iron missile system that they use to block missiles. It's a cloud of other missiles that stopped them, and that failed one day. And this cloud of missiles was coming toward Israel, and a great wind blew them into the sea. Coincidence or the hand of God? The hand of God, amen. So what do we take from all this? Amos prophesied that Israel would be punished, that Judah would be punished, but a remnant would return and rebuild the cities and rebuild Israel. And they did that. That came true in some of our lifetimes. It came true just 5 years before I was born. It came true. Sends cold chills up and down my spine, all the things I can look at that's been prophesied that came true. And all the things that have been prophesied that are going to come true. This morning we looked at John 17. What I'd like to do now is turn to John 16. John 16 is leading up to the events of Jesus' prayer in John 17. And if we go to the end of that chapter, we'll start at verse 30. They said to him, "Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou comest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye may know that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And then he goes on and prays to God about his disciples and having God keep them, and that they were one with him, and he would be one with God, and we'd all be one with God. That's the promise we have. We will all be one with God. And something that hit me when I was studying this again this afternoon, when Amos was prophesying, he was prophesying about Israel and how they would not be pulled up out of the land. We are counted among Israel. We are the wild vine grafted in. When God says, "They shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them," he's talking about us. Once we're saved by God, once we're saved by Christ, once we are in his hands, we are always in his hands. We cannot be pulled up out of his hand. No man can pluck you from the hand of God. So I smile every day when I get down because my name is written in heaven and I am in the hand of God. It's reason to smile, isn't it? It's reason to grin. It's reason to shout, "Amen, praise the Lord." I'll remind you of Amos 5:6. "Seek the Lord, and ye shall live." Have you sought the Lord? Seek the Lord, and ye shall live. You might be saved, but are you seeking the Lord daily? Are you putting God first in all things? My life, the pieces of my life, fell in place when I sought God in all things. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. We'll have a song of invitation. If any need to come to the altar, please come to the altar and pray. Christians will be praying for those that are lost, that those are under conviction, and that they will profess their faith in God and allow Jesus to be their Redeemer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to gather together and learn more of your word and to seek your will and your way, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this word of truth that you have given us so that we can know more about you and about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Lord, I pray that if there are any here tonight that are lost and are without you, that they come and know you and can profess their faith in Jesus Christ. And if there are any that need to rededicate their lives, Lord, I pray for them to come forward. And Lord, I just want to pray for that great horde of lost people that need you. Lord, I want to pray for this country. I want to pray for another great outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we saw started at Asbury. And just pray for another great revival to break out in this country and spread worldwide. Lord, we need you more than ever. Lord, I just pray for you to be with us as we leave here tonight and strengthen us and give us your will and your strength to carry on your work. Lord, I pray thy will be done in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.